Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, my Week 11 recap, guys, I'll be talking about Jimmy Butler once out of Miami. Also, the first returns on the All-Star game voting. We'll talk about that as well. And your monthly accolades for the month of December. We'll talk about that also. So all that and more, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, we are on week 12, which means my week 11 recap. So a lot of news to get to. So without any further delay, we're going to get right into it. Guys, as we always start, we will start with the players of the week. And we'll start in the West. The Joker, Nikola Jokic, for the Denver Nuggets. What a week he had, guys. He had a couple of triple-doubles, and he had a couple of 40 pieces as well, guys. For the week, 36.5 points per game, 16.5 rebounds, over 11 assists, and he averaged 2 steals on top of that. He had one game where he had the 36 points, 22 rebounds, 11 assists, at Utah, and then against Atlanta, another triple-double for him, 23, 17, and 15. And then he had a home-at-home against the San Antonio Spurs where he dropped 46 points and 41 points, respectively. So that's the kind of week Nikola had. And, guys, the only thing that's kind of standing out to me is his efficiency. He's usually 50 and above from the field. But this week particularly, he was at nearly 47%, which is not good for him. But I think that's a byproduct of him having to carry the load, guys. You got people over there like Jamal Murray, you know, Michael Porter Jr. These guys are going to have to step it up and support this guy. You don't want to burn him out before season's end, but, you know, he's carrying quite a load there. And then remember, too, Aaron Gordon is out, so he probably has to compensate in that regard. So he needs some help. I talked about their bench and the lack of depth, so you know, maybe come the trade deadline, we see something happen, but we'll see. But Nikola Jokic, your player of the week in the West. And then for the East, I've been singing his praises all season, guys. Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. Averaged 25.5 points per game, 8 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and nearly 2 steals per game for him. His team went 3-1 for the week. Oh, by the way, Joker's team went 3-1 for the week. They lost to San Antonio in Denver. And for Tatum and his Celtics, they beat the Toronto Raptors. They went on the road and beat the Timberwolves and the Rockets. But they did lose, like everybody's doing these days. They lost at OKC. And you know Tatum, he's going to shoot a lot from the field. His efficiency isn't all that great. He does shoot it fine from three. His free throws, those are fine as well. But I think that may hurt him in the MVP race. If he could get his efficiency up, I would feel better about him. Because if you're competing against the likes of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he kills it from the field. So something to bear in mind. But Jason Tatum, your player of the week in the East. All right, guys. So with that said, let us move on. Your accolades for the month of December, guys. We'll start with the players. And speaking of OKC, your player of the month for the month of December in the West is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The kid's been balling, guys. His team went 12-1 for the month. And what he did for the week, averaged over 33 points, nearly 6 rebounds, over 5 assists, 2.5 steals, guys, and well over a block per game. That's the kind of play SGA's been giving you. I tell you, like I just mentioned, he kills it from the field, guys, over 56%. He shoots threes, but it's not at a high volume. He can knock them down if he wants to. And then he was so pretty much automatic from the line, free throw line at 91%. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, your player of the month in the West in December. In the East, my guy, Karl-Anthony Towns for the New York Knicks. The Knicks actually went 12-2 for the month. Cat averaged over 23 points per game, over 14.5 rebounds, over 3 assists, and well over a block per game for him. And from the field, killing it, guys. 56.5%, 39% from three, and then over 81% from the free throw line. Karl-Anthony Towns, guys, he's been as good as advertised and then some. You know, there was some in the Knick Nation that was questioning the trade. Not so much Randall. It was kind of 50-50, but as far as getting rid of Dante DiVincenzo, who went in that deal, oh, they were up in arms about it. But Karl-Anthony Towns has been as good as advertised. I said he needed to up his rebounding. He's done that. He's pretty much lead the league in that category. Karl-Anthony Towns, your player of the month in the month of December in the Eastern Conference. Let's talk about coaches, guys. In the West, speaking of OKC, now the coach, Mark Daigneault, who's doing an absolutely amazing job over there. His team went 12-1 for the month. First in the West, guys. Their best start in OKC history. And the best since 1997, 1998, when the team was the Seattle Supersonics. And that year, they started out 28-6, OKC 27-5. But Mark Daigneault doing an amazing job over there with those young players. He's really got them to buy into the system, and they're playing great. So Mark Daigneault, your coach of the month for the Western Conference in December. And then for the East, same guy as before, Kenny Atkinson, guys, for the Cleveland Cavaliers. They went 12-1 for the month, guys. Their best ever month in team history. Like, wow, I couldn't believe that when they said it. First in the East, guys. First in the entire NBA. And just to double back to Christmas for a second, think about this, guys. Your number one team in the East, your number one team in the West, did not play on Christmas Day, guys. Let that sink in, guys. So I know they put the schedule out in advance. I understand. I get that. But OKC was balling last year, so how can you not have them on Christmas Day? Cleveland, you want to say they should have been, but we didn't know. Fine, I'll grant you that, but there's no excuse for OKC not playing on Christmas Day. My little rant on that, but we'll move on. So those are your coaches of the month in December. Defensive players of the month. In the West, Jaren Jackson Jr., guys, his team went 10-4, the Memphis Grizzlies, and he amassed 23 steals and 22 blocks. He's the only player with those type of numbers for the month of December. And add to that, he held his opponents to under, well, he held them under 41% from the field, guys. That's the kind of defense Jaren Jackson Jr. has been playing, guys. And then in the East, just talk about Cleveland. Evan Mobley, guys, for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I told you the team went 12-1. He spearheads a team that is first in defensive rating in the East, guys. And he's a two-way player. He's getting it done on both ends. He's a guy who's been in the conversation for getting his first All-Star appearance. We'll see. But Evan Mobley, I think hands down, if you were to end the season right now, he's the most improved player in the WNBA, playing for the best team in the NBA. So, did I say WNBA? No, I hope I did. So, he's the best player in the NBA. Well, he's playing for the best team in the NBA. Let's put it that way. But Evan Mobley, your defensive player of the month in the month of December in the East. Rookies of the month. Now, guys, I think this is going to be volatile all season long, especially in the West. I think it's going to fluctuate from month to month. This month, Ease Missy, guys, for the New Orleans Pelicans. And he is the first rookie of the month for that team since 2020. And the rookie who got it that in that calendar year was Zion Williamson, guys. That tells you how long ago that was. But for the month, Missy averaged over 11 points per game, 10 rebounds, and over a block and a half per game. So, and also getting it done from the field, over 57% from the free throw line. He hits 2 out of 3, so 66.7%. So, Ease Missy, your player of the month for the month of December in the West. Well, your rookie of the month. And then Alex Sarr for the East. For the Washington Wizards, one of the few bright spots for that team. He averaged nearly 14 points per game, leading all rookies for the month, over 6 rebounds, and well over a block and a half per game for him. Not all that efficient from the field, because he too likes to step out to the three-point line, which he actually shoots a pretty – very well from out there. And free throw line, he leaves a lot to be desired. Only 55.6%. But Alex Sarr, your rookie of the month in the month of December for the Eastern Conference. All right, guys. So that is your accolades for the month of December. Let's talk top stories, guys. The top story, what else can it be but Jimmy Butler being suspended by the Miami Heat 7 games for conduct detrimental to the team. Let me give you the timeline, guys. Last season, towards the end, he was injured. So much so, he did not appear in the playoffs. And his team went down in that first round. In fact, he didn't make it out of the first round, guys. So, in the offseason, Jimmy Butler was eligible for a 2-year extension at $113 million. Pat Riley said, you know what? He's going to have to sing for his supper this season. We got to see him this season, see what he can do, and then we'll renegotiate. So Jimmy Butler comes into the season without his extension, getting $48.7 million. And for this season, out of the 33 games, he only played 22 of those games, guys. He's averaging under 18 points per game, his lowest average since the 2018-19 season, guys. 5.5 rebounds, nearly 5 assists, and slightly over a steal per game. So his numbers are down, guys. And then add to that, he's been a Miami Heat for 5.5 years. But add to that, December 20th, he goes down with an ankle injury. It happens early in the game. He sits out 5 games, and he comes back. And for the 2 games that he appears in after the ankle injury, he plays 25.5 minutes, only 9 points. He averages 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. In those 2 games, he only takes 11 shots, guys, making 6. And he did attempt 4 threes in those 2 games, hitting 2, and he was perfect from the line. So all that to say, Jimmy Butler's frustrated, obviously, and it's coming down to his money. I want to play you this sound right quick. This is Jimmy Butler talking about his situation, and I think this is the straw that broke the camel's back for Pat Riley. Listen.
Wherever that may be, we'll find out here pretty soon, but I want to get my joy back. I'm happy here. Off the court, but I want to be back to somewhere dominant. I want to hoop, and I want to help this team win. Right now, I'm not doing it. Can you get your joy back here on the court? Probably not.
So that's what he had to say post game in his interview. Not good. So Pat Riley and the powers that be heard that and said, you know what? We gonna have to sit you to the side. 7-game suspension. So, of course, and then also, too, let's add to that his agent, Bernie Lee, been trying to downplay Jimmy Butler wanting to be traded. And that was prior to that sound that you heard. But Shams Charania, who now he's in the place of a Adrian Wojnarowski. He's the guy who drops the bombs and gives you the lowdown. He's been reporting on this, and Jimmy Butler confirmed what Shams Charania has been reporting. So, of course, with that, you know, the blame game is in full effect, guys. You got guys like Stephen A. He keeps saying that he's not blaming Pat Riley. But yet he's pointing out these things in terms of what Pat Riley has done to Jimmy Butler. And I was actually thinking about this, guys, and how he's saying, you know, Pat Riley has done a disservice to Jimmy Butler, not getting him enough help. You know, he's got the team to 2 finals with less than optimum talent. So it was incumbent upon Pat Riley to try and get him some help. But you can't fault Pat Riley. He's tried. He tried to get a KD over there That didn't work. He tried to get Dame Lillard. We know all about that. That didn't work. And at one time, he tried to get a Bradley Beal over there. That didn't work. So it's not Pat Riley not trying. And then you got to think about Pat Riley in this way. And I've seen it as a, him being with the New York Knicks. Pat Riley is a guy who he's going to mine for talent. He did it with John Starks. John Starks was a guy who bounced around, was in the CBA. He brought him up, and John Starks is the legend in New York thanks to Pat Riley. He did it also with Anthony Mason, another guy who bounced around, was in all sort of different situations. He come here, Pat Riley discovers a gym in Anthony Mason. So he does similar in with the Miami Heat. You know, and I'll just talk of recent note. He got guys like Caleb Martin, you know, undrafted guys, got them paid. Caleb Martin. We could go Caleb Martin, who's now with the Philadelphia 76ers. Matt Strus, who's now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Gabe Vincent, who's straight robbing the Lakers over there in L.A. And then also within his own team, a guy like Duncan Robinson getting a hefty deal. So Pat Riley, he's one of those guys who will dig for talent and, you know, and he has the perfect coach at Eric Spoelstra, who's able to mold his talent as well. So that's the kind of thing Pat Riley does. He's not going to bend over and acquiesce to star players. He's not going to do that. He's old school. He forced Shaquille O'Neal out because he wanted more money. Also, LeBron James, they had kind of a falling out on his way out, although we all knew he was going back to Cleveland. But it was kind of messy on the way out from Miami. And they did it with Miami's own, Mr. 305. And I'm not talking about Pitbull. I'm talking about Dwayne Wade. He didn't want to pay Dwayne Wade, and that's Mr. Miami Heat. So Pat Riley has a history of this. So, yeah. So, and then you have to take into account Jimmy Butler's history. He wanted out of Chicago. That's been documented. He got traded to Minnesota. He got over there. Eventually, he wanted out from there. He goes from Minnesota. He goes to the Sixers. He doesn't re-sign with the Sixers for reasons unbeknownst, but he ends up going to Miami. Now he wants out of Miami. So, and there's trade partners that's out there. It's just a matter of, you know, what Pat Riley wants to do in this regard. You got, and let me double back to Steve A. Smith for a quick second. So I said he's kind of blaming Pat Riley. Hit, and I was just watching today, and Mad Dog Russo, Christopher Russo, was killing Jimmy Butler. And a lot of it I couldn't argue with. And he highlighted the fact that he wanted out of all these places. And, you know, the fact that he is getting paid there. And, you know, and then, too, you got to remember, too, he was coming back off that ankle injury. So they're kind of working him slowly back into the mix. If he wasn't happy with that situation, he thought he should get more touches, he should have made it known. But to do it kind of through the media is not a good look. Not a good look at all. And for Stephen A. Smith to go to bat for Jimmy Butler, and I'll talk about the Phoenix situation in a minute, and go, he's going hard in the paint for Jimmy Butler, but Kawhi Leonard, a guy who's a multiple-time NBA champion, multiple-time, oh, by the way, finals MVP. You got all the smoke for Kawhi, but you got none for Jimmy Butler, who has yet to win the NBA title. So what are we even doing with that? So, but I know how you roll it with that, but I'm just calling a spade a spade. I'll just leave it there. But, and then you had Justin Termey from NBA Today who blasted Jimmy Butler for quitting on the scene. And you can make kind of an argument for that. So as far as the trade partners, they talked about Golden State. They talked about the Dallas Mavericks, perhaps, Houston Rockets, but it seems like the leader in the clubhouse is the Phoenix Suns. Only problem is you have to move Bradley Beal to do it. And Bradley Beal is one of two players, oh my gosh, two players in the NBA with a no-trade contract. The other player, LeBron James. Think about that, guys. Think about that. So Bradley Beal doesn't have to go anywhere. He has a no trade. So it's up to Bradley Beal to decide on where he wants to go. And I heard today Stephen A basically trying to shame Bradley Beal into, you know, foregoing his no trade clause and moving on elsewhere. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. The decision is Bradley Beal's. And when you traded for him, you knew he had this no trade clause. So if you're Phoenix, you're just going to have to grin and bear it and hope he kind of lifts, you know, allow a trade to be made. But he doesn't have to because he has a no trade. He doesn't have to. If he's, you know, they just benched him. They put him on the bench. So, I don't know. All I'm saying is it's a sticky situation. I think when all is said and done, I think Adam Silver gets involved and say, look, this is a messy situation here. You need to resolve it. I'm of the belief that we have probably seen Jimmy Butler. This is probably the last time we see Jimmy Butler in uniform for the Miami Heat. I think it's going to be a situation similar to what AD went through when he was in with the New Orleans Pelicans. I think it's that type of situation. I think they're going to sit on Butler until they can get kind of a deal coming down the pike. I think he's played his last game as a Miami Heat. I'm just going to say that. So anyway, so I'm going to leave that there. All right, so let us move on. Your first returns of All-Star Game voting. Again, we know that they changed the format, so that kind of adds a little bit of a twist, a wrinkle to this. But nonetheless, we'll talk about it anyhow. These are the first returns, guys. And the way it breaks down, it was done on January 2nd. That was the first set of returns. You'll get one coming up on January 9th. Then after that, the 16th of January, that'll be the last set of returns before the final results. And then your 3-for-1 day, guys. This is kind of important to know. January 10th, January 17th, and January 20th. So if you put a vote in, it counts three times. So there's that. So let's do front court in the East. So if we're doing it the old way, it'll be the first three front court players and then the first two back court players. You know, the starting five. So here's how it's shaking out so far. First place is Giannis. Second is Jason Tatum. Third, my guy, Karl Anthony Towns. And then after that, a distant fourth Paolo Banchero, followed by Jaylen Brown. Six, guy we just talked about, Jimmy Butler. Seven, Franz Wagner. Eighth, Joel Embiid. Ninth, Paul George. And then 10th, Evan Mobley, who we also talked about already. So that's your front court. As far as your back court in the East, LaMelo Ball, for crying out loud, is leading the guards, followed by Donovan Mitchell, followed by Dame Lillard, and then Jalen Brunson, fourth, Trae Young, fifth, Cade Cunningham, sixth, Tyrese Maxey, seventh, Jordan Poole, eighth, Tyler Hero, ninth, and Derek White, 10th. Now, let me say this to the Knicks fan in terms of Jalen Brunson. Y'all got to start stuffing the ballot box. I understand the Knicks fan, you're too cool to vote or what have you. Start stuffing the box for Jalen Brunson. He's not that far off. In fact, he's less than 300,000 behind in voting as far as like getting to Donovan Mitchell. I think LaMelo Ball, I think he drops off eventually. So I think it could be a race between Dame Lillard and Jalen Brunson for that spot. Knicks fan, get on it. Start voting and start voting for your guy, Jalen Brunson. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. So that's your East, guys. Let's look at the West. The West, I think this is where things could get tricky, especially in the front court. Nikola Jokic, he's number one, guys, followed by Kevin Durant, third, LeBron James, a close fourth, and Anthony Davis, fifth, Victor Wembanyama, also close. Then you have your sixth place, Alperen Sengun. Seventh, Jalen Williams for OKC. Eighth, Andrew Wiggins, for crying out loud, for the Golden State Warriors. Domantas Sabonis, ninth, and Jaren Jackson Jr., 10th. For the West guards, number one, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and followed by Luka Doncic. Very close in third is Steph Curry. Then you have fourth, Kyrie Irving. Not that far off. And then after that, you have Anthony Edwards, James Harden. Seventh, Ja Morant. Eighth, De'Aaron Fox. Ninth, Devin Booker. And 10th, Norman Powell, who's having a fine year so far for the LA Clippers. So in the West, I think it could fluctuate between those top five guys among the front court. Nikola Jokic, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Victor Wembanyama. I think it could shuffle around, and I think at the end of the day, it could be any of those five guys. That's how close the voting is, guys. So there's that for the West and the West front court. And then the West guards, I think it's a three-horse race. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka Doncic, and Steph Curry. I think any of those three can end up being the final two guys in that situation. So, and then, like I said, your final results on January 23rd, and then your reserves on January 30th. But again, we have that new format. How this all shakes out is still not clear. Hopefully, we'll get clarity as the voting continues. So, all right, guys. So that's it for that. Let us move on. Injuries, guys. Let's talk about these. Jaden Ivey. Guys, I've been talking about Ivy, what a great season he's having so far for the Detroit Pistons. I mean, J.B. Bickerstaff really has the kid playing well. Unfortunately, guys, he was carted off the court and believed to have a broken fibula in his leg. So, and that happened actually on New Year's Day in a win against the Orlando Magic. Late in the fourth quarter, in fact. He's to be reevaluated in 4 weeks. He's had successful surgery, so we're thankful for that. And he said from his social media, I promise to come back even better. So tough break for the kid, but I know I'm definitely pulling for the kid to make a full recovery and to get back on the court. So Jaden Ivey out for the Detroit Pistons. Rob Dillingham for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's the backup guard to Mike Connolly over there for them. He suffers an ankle sprain, and he's going to be out 1 to 2 weeks. So depending on the severity, he'll be out in that amount of time. So we'll see what happens there. They're kind of short as far as other guards to fill in, so we'll see how Minnesota plays this. And then let's move on. Jabari Smith Jr. for the Houston Rockets, out 4 to 8 weeks, guys, with a fracture in his hand. And this happened during a game on New Year's Day. In fact, it was a win against the Dallas Mavericks. So Jabari Smith, they're starting power forward over there. So tough blow for them. Ahmed Thompson, who's actually back from his suspension, he's going to be the guy who fills in, who gets the starting spot. So I think this is show and prove time for Ahmed Thompson. A kid who can give you those numbers, guys. He's very good on the defensive end. So it'll be interesting to see how he does in the interim. And guys, if you're in fantasy basketball like me, I would scour the waiver wire to see if he's actually out there. I would grab him up. I think he's going to be a bundle of fun while Jabari Smith is out recovering. So Ahmed Thompson is the guy I'm looking for to step up and step in Jabari's absence. Jonathan Kuminga for the Golden State Warriors, guys. Their young forward, he's out at least 3 weeks. And that's with a severe ankle sprain, guys. And he suffered that in the second quarter of a game on January 4th. A win, actually, against Memphis. So he's going to be missing some time, guys. So you're probably going to have to rely on the likes of Trace Jackson Davis. You're going to have to rely on him, guys. Kevon Looney, you have him as well. Of course, you got Draymond Green there. So, but Jonathan Kuminga, tough blow for the kid, but hopefully we'll see him back on the court soon. 3 weeks, they're talking about at least. Jordan Clarkson for the Utah Jazz. He's going to be out at least 2 weeks with plantar fascia in his foot, guys. And that happened in the first quarter of a January 4th game, a game that they won at Miami, by the way. So Jordan Clarkson out for the Utah Jazz. And you got a young kid, rookie like Bryce Sensabaugh, who's been lighting it up from the bench. So he'll be getting those Jordan Clarkson minutes in the interim. And so far, he looks good, guys. So he's another one. If he's on the waiver wire, scoop him up. Maybe this will be the opportunity for Utah to finally deal Jordan Clarkson. We'll see. And then Kyrie Irving out 1 to 2 weeks with a bulging disc in his back, guys. Unfortunate blow for the Dallas Mavericks because Luka Doncic, he's already out with a calf injury. So you're missing your two primary guys, your backcourt there. So you're going to have to see the likes of a Klay Thompson stepping up, a Quentin Grimes. He's a guy. Grab him if he's on the waiver wire, guys. Quentin Grimes is a player who he didn't get opportunity with the Knicks. He did have that starting spot. Then he got hurt, and he never relinquished that after they put Dante DiVincenzo in there. So then he got shuffled to Detroit, and, you know, it was a mess there last year. But he's getting a real opportunity right here with Dallas. So Quentin Grimes, I think, could be a direct beneficiary of these guys being out. And also Jaden Hardy. I think he's a guy who can benefit also. So, all right, guys. And these are guys that made their return coming back to the lineup. Devin Booker, guys. He makes his return after missing five games with a groin injury, but he does it in a loss on New Year's Eve, a loss actually to the Memphis Grizzlies. In that game, he has 16 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds. Didn't shoot it all that great from the field, guys, but, you know, you got to give him grace. You know, this is his first game back, so you guys, of course, Devin Booker, he'll be fine. He'll be okay. Emmanuel Quickley, he returns to the lineup, guys, after that UCL tear, and that caused him to miss 22 games, guys. And he comes back in a New Year's Day win against the Brooklyn Nets, a game in which he has 21 points, 15 assists, guys. That, so he comes in and gets a career high in assists. And then he has 4 rebounds as well in that game. So Emmanuel Quickley, guys, the Toronto Raptors team could be a tricky team in the East, guys, because you got guys like Quickley, you got guys like RJ Barrett, who's having a fine year, Scotty Barnes, as long as he's healthy, you got a shot there. You got the center, Jakob Poeltl, and you got some other pieces, Grady Dick over there. Guys, I think they could be a fly in the ointment in the East. Look out for Toronto. And then Kawhi Leonard, guys, I was just talking about him. He makes his season debut, guys, in a January 4th win versus the Atlanta Hawks. You know he missed the 34 games with the knee injury, guys, but Kawhi Leonard back and available for the LA Clippers. He plays only 19 minutes. He has 12 points and 3 rebounds. Also in that game, Ivica Zubac, he has a double-double, 18 points, 18 rebounds. And Norman Powell, who I've been talking about, 20 points to lead the way. But Kawhi Leonard back, you know, Ty Lue, he's going to treat him with kid gloves. Probably won't play back-to-back, so you could scratch that out. But they're going to be very careful with Kawhi, you know, the situation with his knee. So they want to play it smart as far as that goes. All right, guys, so that is your injuries. Top performances, I got a lot here. I'm just going to go through a few. Let's start with Russell Westbrook, guys. This is what he did. This was the game I talked about with Nikola Jokic. He had the triple-double, 36, 22, and 11 assists, I believe. In that same game, this is what Russell Westbrook did for the Denver Nuggets. 16 points, 7 for 7 from the field, so he's perfect from the field. Perfect from the free throw line, 2 for 2. 10 assists, 10 rebounds, 4 steals, no turnovers, guys. So he has a perfect game, basically. So Russell Westbrook, guys, he's definitely been a bright spot for that Denver Nugget team. Anytime he's been thrust in a position to start, he's played well. So Russell Westbrook playing well for the Denver Nuggets, and has a perfect triple-double in that game, guys. Tyrese Haliburton, guys. And listen to this game he has. He does it in a January 2nd win at Miami, by the way. 33 points, of which he has 6 threes, 15 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, no turnovers. So that goes in the record books of a guy having over 30 points, 15 assists, and no turnovers. So that's the kind of game that he had. And then along with him, Pascal Siakam, 18 points, 11 assists. And then for Miami, Kel-El Ware, their big man, he has 25 points coming off the bench. So there's that. Let's move on. Couple of big performances for the Knicks, guys. Josh Hart, he has a back-to-back back-to-back triple-double. 23 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists, and a December 30th game on the road facing the Washington Wizards. A game also where Karl Anthony Towns goes crazy, 32 points, 13 rebounds. And then a couple of nights later, Josh Hart, 15 points, 14 rebounds, 12 assists, and add 2 steals to that. And a win at Madison Square Garden playing the Utah Jazz. Also in that game, Karl Anthony Towns, 31 points, 21 rebounds in the win. And then Mikal Bridges, who taking his good play from December, carrying it over to January, 27 points. And in that game, by the way, no Jalen Brunson. He sat out the game. And then later that week, Karl Anthony Towns in a couple of losses on a back-to-back against OKC, 17 points, 22 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. Again, they lost that game. SGA goes crazy, 33 points for him, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. Ihart in his first game against his old team, 4 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, but he was a major factor in that game, guys, and a thorn in the Knicks' side in that game as well. And then in Chicago, Cat goes crazy, 44 points. He does injure his knee late in that game. Add to that 16 rebounds, 5 assists, but in a loss to Chicago. Kobe White goes absolutely berserk, 33 points, of which he hits 9 threes in that game. And Zach LaVine, he has 33 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, and then a double-double for Nikola Vucevic, 22 points and 12 rebounds. SGA, he drops a 40-piece on the week, 40 points, 4 steals, 3 rebounds, and he does that in a New Year's Eve win against the Minnesota Timberwolves, a game where Isaiah Hartenstein, 15 points, 10 rebounds, and for the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards, 20 points and 7 rebounds. Now, Anthony Edwards, later in the week, he drops a career high. Well, he tied there at least 53 points. No, actually, it was a career high. 53 points, 10 three-pointers in that, along with 6 rebounds, but he does it in a January 4th loss at the Detroit Pistons because Cade Cunningham, he drops him a 40-piece in that game. 40 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. And also a couple of double-doubles for his teammates. Tobias Harris, 16 points, 11 rebounds. Osar Thompson, the brother of Amen, 10 points and 10 rebounds in that game. CJ McCollum, he drops a 50-piece. 50 points, of which he hits 10 threes in a January 3rd win against the Washington Wizards. And on the losing side, Jordan Poole, 26 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. And then LeBron James. This is a guy who just turned 40, by the way, guys. 38 points, of which he hit 7 threes. Add to that, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, and a January 2nd win against the Portland Trail Blazers. A game where Max Christie, guys, we haven't said his name much, 28 points, and he drops 5 threes in the game. And a double-double for Austin Reeves, 15 points, 11 assists, and 8 rebounds for him. So, yeah, so that's pretty much it. Leave the rest as is. DeJounte Murray, he has a triple-double in a January 5th win at Washington, 14 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds in that game. All right, guys, so that is it for that. Couple of more items, then we'll finish. LeBron James, he passes Michael Jordan as the all-time leader in 30-point games. Michael Jordan had 562, and LeBron passes him with 563. The big story, though, guys, the amount of games it's being done in. LeBron, 1,523 games. Michael Jordan, 1,072. So it's a difference of pretty much 5 seasons and a half. So, of course, you have the debate that goes on First Take, Stephen A. and Unk, Shannon Sharp. You know, their GOAT debate. You know how I feel about the GOAT situation. I don't delve into that. But, you know, they had to have it out. And then Marcus Spears, a.k.a. Swaggoo, joined in the fun in that regard. But so LeBron is at the top in terms of 30-point scorers in a game. And then in the same game, he passes Dirk Nowitzki for fourth all-time in games played. Dirk Nowitzki had 1522. LeBron gets 1523. So LeBron climbing up the charts and adding to his legacy, guys. And then the last thing, GD's Big Five, guys. Not much of a change for the most part. Number one, Cleveland Cavaliers, of course, getting it done. I've been talking about them throughout. 31-4. They have a 10-game winning streak as of this recording, guys. So they're number one. Number two, OKC, who's about a game away from them, guys, at 30-5. They have 15 straight wins and counting. So OKC getting it done, even without the likes of a Chet Holmgren, guys. Third, Boston Celtics at 26-10. So Boston Celtics still maintaining that third spot. Fourth, still maintaining at the New York Knicks, even with the 2-2 week last week. They're at 24-12. And then fifth, the Houston Rockets at 23-12, guys. And not too far from them is the Memphis Grizzlies at 23-13, nipping at their heels. So all right, guys, so that is it for this recording, guys. I was going to talk Unrivaled, guys, the Unrivaled League, that 3-on-3 women's league. I want to talk about that before they get started. I'm told they start on the 17th of this month, so I want to get it in. Hopefully, the next recording, I'll get to talk about that. I want to carve out some time for that, because they're doing an extraordinary job so far as the marketing and all those things. And as far as getting sponsorship, people investing. So I want to talk about that. I saw on Stephen A's show, he took time out to talk about Angel Reese, her deleting her IG, only to bring it back up because she's on the cover of Vogue magazine. So I want to talk about that because I need to kind of lay down the law as far as that goes. You know how I do so. But we'll get to that. All right, guys. So with that said, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you can find all my shows, whether it's video form, audio, clips as well. Also, YouTube, I'm there, guys. Like the videos, comment if you like as well. My support buttons, guys, support the show. I always keep it in the scroll, in the crawl now, guys. Also, on my website, there's a support page. There you can support it in a myriad of ways. Cash App, I heard funny things are going on with Cash App, but I give it to you anyway. $GD, that's sports dude. Again, that's $GD, that's sports dude. You'll see it below. Also, podcast platforms. I'm on all of them, guys. Apple, you can leave a review there. 5 stars, guys. Give your boys 5 stars, all right? And then also on socials, Instagram, although I'm hearing things about Instagram and Facebook lately. We'll see how that goes. TikTok is still hanging around. We have it till the 19th until something happens. So hopefully we'll still have TikTok around. X or Twitter, I'm off of that, so forget about it. Blue Sky, I'm there. Fan base, I'm still learning the kinks of it. LinkedIn, I put my videos up there as well, so it is what it is. All right, guys, so I thank you for listening. Your listenership is so important to what we do at this show. Always appreciate it, guys. Until next time, take care.